ويوم نسير الجبال. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about the adornments of the world, how temporary they are, He shows us their reality and outcome. He tells us what will become of this world and its adornments. What will become of this world you run after? A day will come when the mountains will be made to move. How they will become dust and powder and will become weightless. Only one trumpet blow and the entire earth will not be able to bear. Such earthquakes will come that the mountains will become dust and powder. The mountains will be moved from their places. The word Nusayiru shows they will be made to move. They will not move from their own will. And also they will be made to scatter in form of dust. And you will see the earth leveled. After the earthquakes come, the earth will be crushed to dust particles. This is one meaning. Secondly, whatever is upon the earth, the mountains, the mounds, buildings and structures, everything will fall and get destroyed. Then the earth will appear plain and leveled. Nothing will remain upon it. At that time, the earth will not be as it is today, and it would be visible how the land is changed. The mountains will no longer be there. It will only be a matter of short time, and all this will happen. As in Surah Inshiqaq, we learn, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. When the earth is stretched and spread out, and will cast out whatever that is in it, and will be empty. All the dead and whatever that was buried in it will be thrown out. This is the mercy of Allah, that it doesn't do that now. When the command of Allah comes, it will spit out everything. If the earth did this today, there would be no place to live upon it. Then in Surah Zilzila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And when the entire earth is shaken by the earthquake. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will take out its burden. Allahu Akbar. So whatever that is in the belly of the earth, it will come out for all the dead. There will be no high or low piece of land. Earth will be plain, leveled and flat. And then, وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ. And we will gather them. One thing to note is, why is not the word for gathering, jama, not used? Why is the word hashar used when qiyama is mentioned? What is the difference in jama versus hashar? Jama means gathering. Hashar is used for gathering of animals. As in Surah Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. And when the wild beasts or animals are gathered. Hushirat is for pushing the cattle. Likewise, mankind will not come from their own free will together. They will be pushed and gathered. No one will dare to remain behind. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Then we will not leave behind from anyone, not anyone, whether they are old, young, or a child. Even a miscarriage that had a soul blown in it, even that will be brought forth, from old to an unborn baby that was formed in his mother's womb will be raised up and made to stand. Allahu Akbar. And this is not difficult for Allah. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. As mentioned, that when even the animals would be gathered on the day of Qiyamah, not one person will be left behind. Ibn Abbas stated that every living being will be brought forth and made to stand to account, even a fly. And we learn how a goat without horn that was injured or butted by a horned goat will be brought forth and given justice. That means even animals will be raised up. And from mankind, even if one drowned in the seas, and the flesh was eaten by fish and nothing remained of the person, drowned centuries ago, and the waves of the oceans deteriorated the bodies, or even if upon dry land, if the bones of the dead person get rotted and decay and mix with the soil. Then, if a camel comes, passes by the area and eats from the soil and digests and makes waste from it, then the people collect its waste and use it as fuel to burn fire. When the fire extinguishes and the wind blows away the particles and spreads it across land, when the trumpet is blown, Allah will gather those particles and form the person back into his form, and there will be no delay nor difficulty in it for Allah. For example, somewhere a person dies and a long time passes, and then their remains become particles. Even scientists conclude that nothing is wiped out from its existence. Rather, the matter always remains in one form or another, either solid, liquid, or gas. Whatever shape, likewise, particles of once living person remains. Allah will say, "Kun," be, and man will stand up. So if you have to think about something, think of this. When the time of trial comes, think of yourself being presented to Allah. And we must remember this, because when trials come, it will become very difficult for a person to save their faith. Man will worry for his dunya, his world. Faith will be slipping away because he will be concerned more about losing his dunya. For what we bend ourselves and are ready to abandon our faith, remember, these blessings are so short-lived and will come to an ultimate end. Then we will see its real value. It will become hashiman, and the earth itself, nothing will remain upon it. Remember and worry for the day we will be brought forth and presented. What will happen to with us that day? We must remember that when man will lose out, the only reason will be that he didn't prepare or remember the coming of this time, that I have to stand in front of Allah and cannot escape, or that I will be gathered and have to meet with Allah. Only when this gets forgotten, then man gets consumed by the world. Whatever we have learned so far from the previous lessons and the first two stories, we can clearly note the effects of being consumed. How were the youth able to escape? Because they were not consumed. The man of the garden, why did he show arrogance? Because he was consumed. We see the difference between the people in both stories. The companions of the cave were not consumed, so they were able to leave and save their faith. The man of the two gardens was consumed, therefore committed shirk. He was so indulged in this world, the world consumes a person. Therefore, Allah tells us the reality of this world. From a hadith, we learn that in sight of Allah, the value of this world is not even worth to the weight of a wing of a mosquito. It does not even have this much value. And remember, وَأُرِيدُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّىٰ. They will be presented upon their Lord in rows. When the entire creation, from old to young, even babies not born, if they are present, and animals and the jinn and angels, makes one wonder what chaos will be there and what will be the condition of the people, as people will lose their senses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there will be no chaos when the entire creation is resurrected. When they reach their place of meeting with Allah, they will be standing in lines. In this world, people cannot even make a straight line in the masajid and forget to make straight rows. But on the day of judgment, angels will be standing in straight rows, and men too will stand in rows. Even at time of great chaos, there will be such discipline. No one will stand in front of Allah except disciplined. From this we learn the condition of mankind, such obedience at that time. But here in this world, people are constantly reminded and called to the way of Allah, but they do not listen. So there, how will man become so disciplined and stand in rows, even if they didn't know how to do it in this world? They will do it then. لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة. If we imagine that mankind is gathered in rows, then after that, it seems like that Allah squeezed the time from beginning and made to stand in place of resurrection, and we hear a voice telling us. As the address shifts from third person to second person, and Allah is directly addressing the mankind. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Certainly you came to us just as we created you the first time. Allah addresses man, you think you are standing there yourself. First it was mentioned, وَأُرِيدُ, they were presented as a far off matter. But now, standing directly, you are brought here just as you were created the first time. How was it the first time? When you were born, bare feet, naked, men without being circumcised, standing now in the same condition. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that on the day of judgment, mankind will be raised up, barefoot, naked, and men without circumcision. She said, O Prophet of Allah, all men and women will be gathered there together and looking at each other? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the matter there will be so severe that people will not be concerned about looking at each other. It will be an extremely difficult matter and will not be as in this world. Every type of man and woman will be present there, biggest fornicator, biggest shameful person. But even he will not be concerned. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 104, كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين. Just as we created you the first time, we will create you again. This is a promise upon us. وعدا علينا. And we are ones to do it. Do not be in doubt about it. بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا. But you assume that nothing will happen. Did that time come while you thought it was just talk and false warnings? But none will be absent from it. Every person will meet with Allah individually. Even if it is mentioned that people are standing in rows. In another narration, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call out in a loud voice, saying, I am Allah, there is no one worthy of worship besides me. I am Arhamar Rahimeen, I am Ahkam al Haqimeen, I am swift in your account taking. O my slaves, there will be no fear upon you, nor will you grieve. Bring your argument and make your account easy, because you will be questioned and held accountable. O my angels, make these slaves of mine stand on tips of their toes in rows so their account is taken. As we learned before that there will be very little space there, as all of the creation will be brought forth. There will be only enough space for 2 feet to stand for each person. And in this hadith, we learn that mankind will stand on the tips of their toes because of the tightness of space. This is how mankind will stand on the day of Qiyamah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out the deception of man, who used to call it only talk, and say nothing will happen, saying no promise. This is what they used to think. Now they have been wrought, and how? Where is their wealth, their sons, and their belongings? They have no bags, no suitcases. Even when we travel for a few days, we bring so many belongings with us, but nothing there. That day is the longest day. There they will be, empty-handed, not even an umbrella to shade oneself, not even shoes to wear, not even clothes to cover their bodies with. Everyone will be there without anything, just as they were born, empty-handed. Who gave us everything in this world? They all came empty-handed in this world. And this is how we will be returned. And they assume that there is no Qiyamah. They would say, do you believe in it? Most people believe in the day of Qiyamah and say it too. They say, we believe in it. But from their condition, it shows as if Qiyamah will never come. Our hearts do not truly believe. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if I see Jannah brought in my view, it would not increase in my belief about it. Because they believed in it with such conviction while living in this world, that even if they saw it with their own eyes, it would not increase their faith any more than they already have about it. And if Jahannam is brought forth, he said, in my view, it would not increase my belief about it. They had such firm conviction living in this world. Well, we have to keep on reminding ourselves about Qiyamah, that it will come. We do not have the same level of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us in the place of gathering on the day of Qiyamah. Man will be so helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ji'tumuna, not ta, which also means coming. Ji'tumuna is coming with difficulty. And Allah brought forth, even if man didn't want to come and wanted to stay in the world. So man will be gathered after passing through many difficult stages. Wa wudi al-kitab, and the book will be placed. Which book is this? The book of every person's life. A person may have read many books in his life. Now the time has come for him to read his own book. And result will be announced, and the report card will be handed out, per se. We should imagine standing ourselves there. What will happen? فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and you will see the criminals. مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, fearing from what is in it and what it contains. They will fear their own book. Even while this is their own book, yet they are scared because they are criminals and they are given book behind their back or on their left hand. We imagine the book of deed is given behind their back. In hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, "Abswaruha khashita," sights will be looking up. Also in the Quran, it is mentioned that sights will be looking up, and the book in their hand, they will be fearful and not know what is in it. They will tremble from fear, while the counting will not have even begun yet. Just the distribution of book of deeds will cause such fear. Mushfiq shows a permanent condition, meaning one always fearful, such as one worships, and if one says so-and-so is abida, means one always worships. Mushfiqina means constantly fearing, doesn't end. And due to the fear, their eyes are staring aghast. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا, and they say, our destruction, oh woe to us. And the accountability has not even begun yet. This is at the first stage. Because they are afraid what they had done in the world. They fear what is written in their book. This is not only for the criminals, but everyone else. Even people who did good deeds in this world will worry. They will worry how many good deeds were accepted and how many were rejected or wasted. And even if they will be enough, then what of their sins were recorded and what was erased? So many fears. Man knew what he was doing, and when the books are being handed out, the first thing said will be, read your book today. You are sufficient to take account of yourself. Even the taking of the book will be so difficult. How can anyone be concerned with nakedness of others as the book of deeds are being distributed? At that time, people will be covered in sweat. Some people's sweat will reach up to their mouths, some up to their earlobes. At that time, no one will care to look at another. This will be the condition of extreme fear. People will be worried about what is in their book. In the word mimma, it means whatever is in it. and they do not remember each and every action or misdeed. And when they open the book, they will say, Mali haz al kitabi, what is wrong with this book? What is this book? La yugadiru saghiratan wala kabira. It does not leave anything small or big. Nothing is left out. Illa ihsaha, except counted it. Not only written, but counted and computed. Not a haphazard book. Everything in it will be counted. For example, how many times the glass was filled with unlawful desires, or how many times the eyes saw what they were prohibited to see, or this is the joke you made with such and such person at such and such date, and how many smiles were not sincere, how many wudus were not done correctly, how many salahs were prayed in heedlessness without any focus. Everything will be written with calculation. And in saghiratan wala kabira, be it small and big, everything will be written. While in this life, people say, this is such a small matter and you are worried about it. Allah takes note of each and every matter and will be recorded in the book of deeds. Small matters, saghira, or small sins, if done constantly, become a major sin called kabira sins. Saghira and kabira are our terminologies. No matter what we call a sin, they are disobediences to Allah. Why do we have these terminologies? In comparison to kabira sins, saghira sins are smaller or lesser sins. Such as adultery, fornication is a kabira or major sin, while shaking hands with a non-mahram is saghira. In comparison to the major sin, it becomes a smaller sin, but one cannot say it is not a sin. Both saghira and kabira are disobediences of Allah. Therefore, nothing is small. Also, even when smaller sins pile up, they become a big sin. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came upon a deserted place, and he told his companions to bring whatever they find in the area. A little while later, the companion said, we have gathered this. Whatever they had in little quantity, they made a pile out of it. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you see this? All this little amount each of you gathered and made a pile of it. Just the same, the sins collect to become big. Therefore, it is incumbent for every one of you to fear Allah and not commit small or big sins, and should remember every sin is counted and maintained. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the sins that are considered small and insignificant, save yourselves from even those, because a person will be asked about even that. We worry about kabira sins, but even smaller sins, when committed daily, become big and become means of destruction for a man. So cannot even afford small sins. So small sins, big sins, and even intentions are written. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, that day even small matters will be made apparent. The matters deep inside a person, the plotting, the schemes, arrogances, envy, all is getting written, all compiled in a book of deeds, which will come forth. And this is not difficult for Allah. We do not remember even big matters, let alone smaller misdeeds. We don't even remember. Can anyone remember last year, this day, what we were doing? Or a week ago, who we met? Can anyone remember what effects did others take from us and started following us in that deed or even misdeed? We do not know. Even the after effects we leave behind and others follow us on is written and recorded. It can be good or bad. How many fasts we kept, how many we left, how many prayers we prayed, how many were fard, nawafil, and their quality, everything is written. This is why man will be fearful of his book. When man did not gather many good deeds, then he will be fearful and will be shocked to see even such a small matter. even if it was something hurtful or bad thoughts of someone, what we heard long ago with our eyes, what we did in isolation, and what was done in a gathering, and the activities of night and day. How can man escape? Everything done by a person from time of puberty to the time of his death, everything gets written. People keep diaries and write only good things written by our own hands. But the diary being written by the angels write down each and every matter we do. And we live our life doing and saying whatever we want without remembering it is being noted and written. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find whatever they did one present. And they will find, wajadu means found something lost. Whatever they did, it means they lost it from their memory, that they even did it. And those deeds will suddenly appear in the book, as one standing, as giving shape to something. That day, even deeds will be given a shape. The law will come in a certain form. Also, Quran will come in a form. Even surahs of the Quran, such as Surah Al-Mulk, will have a shape. Fasting, Hajj, and even Islam will take on a form. And they will find them present. They will be standing in front of them. It will be our deeds. If they are good, we will be pleased to see them. And if they are bad, we would not even like to see them and would want to distance ourselves from them. Man will run away from them. If we make a book of deeds for one day of our life, while we don't even remember what we did in the morning at evening time, but even if we make it for one day, what do we say in our talks? What things we hear? What do we read, learn? How much we sleep? How we interact with family? And how long we were in the kitchen and what we did there? We can figure out how it is going. We can determine our actions. And the entire life's worth record will be recorded in the book. If we are satisfied with our one day's account taking, then it's good. But if we are not satisfied with even just one day, then when we see each and every day and every moment, what will happen? Here the criminals will be crying and wailing. They will say, what kind of book is this that it doesn't leave anything out? And every moment is recorded. Then instead of saying how much wrong they had done in the world, they will complain about every wrong being written in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَهَدًا. And your Lord will not wrong anyone that day. A person will only be punished for whatever wrong they committed. Remember, not more, only according to what sin they committed. Even a goat without horns, if it was injured by a goat with horn, will only avenge as much as its injury. Then when justice is served, animals will be turned to dust. Everyone will be dealt justly and with equity. But we should always make dua for Allah not to deal with us with equity, because if Allah does equity, then we would surely be in trouble. But make dua, Allah shows His mercy upon us, not doing equity with us. Allah's mercy is vast and there is no mistake. Our deeds are filled with disobediences. If Allah took account of all our wrongs, where will we go? Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. We cannot even give account for one day of our life, let alone the entire life. We should make dua that when Allah sees our account, He says, go, you are forgiven. Allah will not be unjust that some person does a sin and then someone else is blamed for it. If we note all the conversations of those going to the hell, they do not say we were dealt unjustly or without equity. In this world, if anyone loses, for example, in an election or fails an exam, they complain that it was unfair. They make excuses and don't admit their own faults. That day, no one will be able to say that Allah was unjust or unfair. Even the biggest criminal will not be able to say it. Even if a person's scale is decreased with just even one good deed and increased in one bad, and because of it enters hell, he will not say that he was dealt unjustly. Where the entire life account is taken, if in a court of law, in a case where people say they are punished unjustly, this is one case, perhaps for one killing or for one robbery, there it will be a case for the entire life of a person, for each and every deed. There will be no lawyers to dispute the case. Everyone will have to answer for their own deeds themselves. No one will be able to say that they were dealt unjustly. Allah will say, "This is your book of deeds. Read it yourself and tell me what you didn't do." Everything will be so accurate. There will be no mistake. It would be such a difficult task for man to keep account of every action, small or big, for any person, but not difficult for Allah. The record is for every creation, even the goat that struck another goat. From this we learn the record is kept of every animal as well. So what will man's record be filled with? When there is not even a speck of error in the record, then what reason would be there for complaints or ask for justice? With Allah, there is only justice. That's why no one will be able to argue against it. Even a disbeliever who disbelieved in Allah would not be able to say that he was punished unjustly. He will not be able to complain. While in this life, even when the punishment is genuine, the criminals or wrongdoers complain against it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a good understanding of these ayahs and give us an ability to gain lessons from them and bring them into our actions. Ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the tilawa.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تسروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا